Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the podcast. I'm Paul Machin, Chris Pajak is in the studio, Errol Smith and Ross Chanley are Skyping in, as it were, because, you know, life, life and
words
stuff.
Words becoming verbs.
Yeah. Chris Pajak.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about a whole host of things. We're going to be answering a kickoff question in a moment. But we also, for in case you're wondering, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Man United thing that's become more of a thing in recent weeks. And also the Man City thing, which no one's really talking about.
I mean, I am talking about the Man City thing.
Yeah.
Well, more than the Man United thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, and our United title favourites, because everyone seems to be all over that at the moment. And fair play, you know, they're all right, aren't they? But yeah, we will discuss that and a few other bits and pieces. But yes, first and foremost, the kickoff question this week comes from Benjamin Longthorn. It's a good name, that, isn't it?
It is. I've always liked Benjamin.
Benjamin.
It's like Ben's jamming.
And the question from Benjamin Longthorn, who does sound like he was one of Robin Hood's many men, I think, with a name like that. He says, if you were teleported back in time to tell your 18-year-old self something, but only had 10 seconds, what would you tell yourself?
This came to me so quickly when I read the question.
Put the pipe down.
No. I would, because I'd be a bit of a prick because I know how I hate cliffhangers. Yeah. So first of all, there's two things that I need to say in this 10 seconds. So I'm going in, I'm going, don't go on holiday in 2019.
Right, ready? 10, 9.
Don't go on holiday in 2019. Corner taken quickly.
Oh! That's a shout.
Okay.
But then you're just going to be living in suspense.
And you'd have no idea.
I'd hate that! I'd hate that! I hate that. Every time there's a corner taken, lad, I'm like, come on, what's going on?
So many years
that's
later,
torture.
20 years later, I almost completely forget about it, and you just, only me watching the corner, no one
Trent's
else.
Trent's taking that corner really quickly.
Origi!
Sneaky.
Yeah. And don't go on holiday in 2019.
Yeah. Well, I thought you was in that links into it. That's like your secret message to yourself of saying when you know that you know, because you'll know that as soon as you see a corner taken quickly by Trent, then we're winning the European Cup.
Layers.
Clever stuff. Ross, what are you telling yourself, your 18-year-old self in 10 seconds?
I'd have to be very careful. I think I give selfish reasons. I'll put a bet on Liverpool winning the league in 2019 and the Champions League, and then go on as many holidays as you can before 2019, where you can actually go on holidays and enjoy them.
Yeah,
that sounds being selfish. I'm fine with that.
Okay, sounds so. In 10 seconds, 10.
Go on as many holidays before 2018 and put a bet on Liverpool winning the league in 2019.
Okay,
sounds. Got his years wrong, did he?
2020.
Oh, yeah. 2019-20
season. Imagine how disappointed you'd be if you went back in time to tell yourself to in the league. You're watching Company score and you go, what?
He's just put his fucking house on Liverpool to win the league.
And the Champions League
bankrupted himself.
Company's just twatting one in against Leicester because it's that last game of the season. You're like, well, it must be the last game that's happening then. Don't worry, everyone. And then, yeah, all them fake scores going round Anfield the last game of the season. You're like, oh, this is it. This is happening.
Just drink yourself to oblivion if that happened. It's fine.
Errol, what are you telling yourself?
I tell myself to trust the process because life will find a way to work out. And then I would find a way to give myself that subliminal message to just remind Gerrard, just be careful. Just tread light in 13, 14. Do you know what I mean? Make sure those studs are razor sharp. And then hopefully we'd have had two Premier League titles in the last decade. That would have been my thing. Like,
yeah. In 10 seconds?
In 10 seconds. Gerrard, don't fucking slip and trust the process.
Nice.
Simple as that.
Yeah, dead subtle. Subtly, I'm going to tell Stephen Gerrard not to slip. I'm going to talk about his boots. Make sure he went, don't fucking slip, Gerrard. Well done.
Okay, yeah. I'll remember that one.
You only gave me 10 seconds.
Yeah. But he only used three of them. Yeah. There you go.
Could be worse. You could have bankrupted your younger self at some point in their future.
Or left yourself on suicide watch by giving yourself
what would happen to you if you like placed that massive bet and lost your money? What would your future self then turn into?
An alcoholic.
There's a paradox for you. Yeah. That's time travel in a nutshell for you there, where you can't.
Yeah.
I would go back to my 18-year-old self and say, don't waste your time on MySpace, it's shit. Start on YouTube instead. Those skills I learned in coding, that the basic coding skills required to get a MySpace page up and running, so many times over, complete fucking waste of time. Complete waste of time. I've not used that ever since. Let us know in the comments what you would be telling yourself. And if you've got any wonderful show, have you got a better way to deliver that message to Steven Gerrard other than don't slip? Because bearing in mind, I mean, saying that though, how old are you now?
I'm 29, so 10 years ago, we're looking 2010 times.
So what are you doing? Like, what are you now, what's your 18-year-old self now doing, now that he has that knowledge, to make Gerrard not slip?
I'd have to find something, because I bumped into him a couple of years before, the year I think we had Balotelli, that was after, so I need to meet him before that. He was coming out of a hotel when I was doing a play in the Unity in town. He was coming out of, you know, the hotel that they all stay in on the corner. He was there. So I've shouted him then, but it's too late by that point. I need to shout him 12 months earlier and just let him know.
You need to add a message to yourself saying, go and find Gerrard and tell him not to slip.
Yeah, that'd be ideal. And then just track him down from early
doors. Maybe tell him the game as well, just so you can tell Gerrard.
Because
I don't think the subtle thing's working here.
Yeah, but because if you say it to him around the time that Balotelli's already in the squad, you're just being a cunt. Like, don't slip, Stephen. You're just one of them. You're just one of them dickheads, aren't you? Like, you're really good.
You don't sound like a Liverpool fan when you're shouting that.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, mate. Yeah, brilliant.
Go to an early game, Errol, and take a banner that says play one touch v Chelsea. Doesn't need a second touch.
That's it.
Clear your lines versus Chelsea. Yeah. Make Brendan tell you to clear your lines. Something like that, yeah. That's made me feel
For me personally, growing up, that was the most exciting season that I can remember. So for me, that would have just been the one. I know we've got one in the bag now, but if it was me personally, that'd be it.
Yeah, definitely.
For Gerrard as well, I think he deserved it, to be fair to him. He was a good lad.
Oh, yeah. I think it's fair to say that Steven Gerrard can have that. Yes, we're going to take a very, very, very short break to show you a wonderful piece of content, a two-part mini-series that we've got up and running and streaming right now. And then we're going to dive into a bit of chat about how the mood has fallen off a cliff here amongst Liverpool fans and about some of Liverpool's closest title rivals. And is it Man United's time to shine?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And once again, stay tuned.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Yes, you can get that mini-series right now if you need a little bit of a lift and be reminded of some of the stellar moments we've had as Liverpool fans in the last 5 years. Then, yeah, the two-episode mini-series, the 50 greatest moments of the Jürgen Klopp era so far, which is a funny thing to do because I was talking to Si, who edited it there yesterday, Chris, and he basically realised that from the time he started making it to the time of it being released, there was like 3 more moments that would have gone in there. So yeah, it does prove that things are definitely a lot brighter than maybe they feel, because at the moment, Chris Pajak, it feels like, you know, we talked about this before on the final word, it's 9 days since we played West Brom. It feels like longer, and it feels like the whole weight of the footballing universe has fallen squarely on our shoulders, because if you're around the clock another, you know, 16 days, we're giddy as school kids after smashing Crystal Palace, haven't we?
Yeah, life comes at you fast, doesn't it?
It does, mate.
You know, the Tottenham one's the one, innit? Like, you know, at that point, I thought that was the springboard for us. Is that the right use of that?
Yeah.
I thought that was the springboard for us able to go on the trampoline for us to be able to jump on and go and win this league. And unfortunately, it hasn't been as easy as that. The last 3 games haven't been good enough from Liverpool. You know, the last one of which I think was the worst and possibly one of the worst performances of the season. I don't know, Villa's in there and stuff as well, but I just didn't think the team clicked in any way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. So Liverpool need to do a better job on the football field, and Liverpool need to, I think at this point, need to probably go out and, you know, start again almost and just try and play with a little bit of freedom and leave that edginess behind and forget about the last results and just move forwards.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, isn't it, Errol? Because more so now than ever, we need football. I mean, it's telling that, you know, elite sport is carrying on in lockdown. It's one of the few things that remains a through line of normality and has done now, you know, for the last 6 or 7 months or whatever. So yeah, we probably do put more than we ever have previously, and a lot of us put a lot of our hope and happiness onto the Reds. I think the encouraging thing is that, you know, reminding ourselves of how good it felt after Crystal Palace, and then trying to find somewhere in between that feeling and probably how we're feeling today.
Yeah, a little happy medium, because we should, with hindsight, we should have just rationed out those 7 goals and we'd have still been sound.
Oh, yeah.
You ration them out over the next 3 games and we'd have probably still got a result from each of them. It's just mad, because I don't really want to be dead. I know you can't do that, but I don't want to be dead reaction and be like, oh, we're shit because we just, you know, we lost to Southampton last night. I think you said it earlier, Ross, in the final word, give credit where credit's due to the other team. And, you know, they played with that added intensity that I think we've probably lacked in the last couple of games. But again, Mark, what you're saying there, Paul, it has been 9 days, so a lot has happened in a short space of time. It's a shame with the way it's happened over the last game of the year, calendar year, and then the first game of a new calendar year. I think psychologically, that's probably just been weighing heavy on the lads. But now it is important that we kind of just dust ourselves off and just say, right, we need to go again, gear up, level up, and just go again completely.
Yeah, Ross, as a man who has his face to the coal fire of, you know, Liverpool fan
engagements with these things, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Ah, yeah, is another way of saying that.
Yeah, just had your face, the face in the fire. Moreover, having your face melted off by anger and misery and what have you. It is mad, isn't it? I mean, again, it's we weren't perfect. I felt like we were going to run away with it after Spurs and Palace to some extent. It looks a bit naive to think of it that way, but there is definitely a degree to which we're probably not quite as good as we thought we were then, and we're certainly not as bad as some feel that we might be now.
Yeah, I think it's a build-up of other things as well. Yeah, Errol's right of, you know, the calendar year, but also the seasonal year as well. You know, since we won league, there's been a dip in form. We haven't quite got to, you know, pre-lockdown form and the expansive way that we played with fluidity and you know, confidence, I think, is just completely gone. So then when you get like a little setback, which is a draw or, you know, a loss, I think that all adds up onto each other. And also there's the fear of, because last season, we were 13 points clear at this stage, possibly more with games in hand. That's the comparison. But also, you know, it's what a normal season is. I saw something last week where I think when City won the league, funnily enough, because, you know, they finished first and United were joint first or whatever else, and City lost five games. They'd drawn five or six games and they still won a title. I think they finished on 89 points, the same as Manchester United. The past 3 years have been an anomaly for football, and the standard has been like just ridiculous. Like, I think we need to appreciate that a little bit more than people are doing at the moment, and go, like, getting 90-yard points, 100 points in a league is ridiculous. You can win the league on 82 points, 85 points, 84 points. Now, people are worrying because we're looking over our shoulders for the first time, you know, at 2, 3, 4 teams. That's not happened for 2, 3 seasons for Liverpool. Yeah. I understand the panic, but also, you know, you have to respect other teams. You know, it's a long season. It's just an odd season in terms of, you know, people with injuries, with COVID, with no pre-season, with other stuff going on. Other people are allowed to compete in football. It's fine.
Yeah. He's right. I fully agree with that. I think, you know, the 80 points thing, the 85 points is probably where this league season finishes. And yeah, we're not doing as well as we did last season, but we're actually not that many points off either. You know, we're maybe 10 points off where we were at this stage last season, something like that. I'm not exactly sure of the numbers. You know, and Liverpool I think we're not far off our 13-14 run either. You know, we just need to run a games, man, and run a wins, more importantly.
It's worth remembering, and historically, Liverpool always get better. And I think if you're going to win the title, you have to get better in the second half of the season. Errol's did my finger gun, so he knows.
It's so true, though. That is typical us. We always get better the second half of a season. But you, like, when we used to get better, it was because we was playing catch up. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic now, trying to put the gauntlet down on everyone else to say we're going to pull away in the second half of the season.
Yeah,
well, that's what I think is not going to happen this year. I don't think there is a team that's going to run away with it. I don't think there's three teams that can win the league this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I know the title of the video was a Man United favourites. No, they're not. Man City are favourites for the Champions League for some reason as well. Mm-hmm. Liverpool are second favourites according to the bookies, but they're really not far behind Manchester City there. And you know, we've got a big game coming up against Manchester United. We've got a big game coming up against Tottenham, Manchester City. All these teams also have big games, Paul.
Yeah.
And it's how you deal with those big games.
Well, it's interesting because I'd
counter that, though, you know, Chris. I don't know. It's about, for me, I feel it's the games that are dead set that we should be dealing with, the bottom half of the table, that I think I don't want it to be true, but could bite us in our ass by the end of the year, because we should have probably beat West Broms. We should have probably beat Southampton. There are teams there that we should have. No. Should have not got a draw against
I totally understand that, and I can understand why people are fuming. I think Liverpool should have beaten those sides. I know Liverpool should have beaten those sides, but when it comes down to it, it's not often the league's not decided between games between the teams at the top of the table. Yeah.
That's absolutely true, and that's why I think it's quite interesting. We'll have a little look ahead and look at the rival fixtures. I think the one thing that's quite interesting, we've been having this conversation for a while, Ross, and the postponed fixtures from the opening day, which is obviously City versus Aston Villa, and it's Man United Burnley. They've finally been pushed back into the calendar, and what that means is obviously we play... Man United play three games of football before they play us, whereas we only play the one. We've got Aston Villa on Friday, and then we've got the 9-day gap to Manchester United. United play Manchester City Wednesday, play the FA Cup Watford on Saturday, play Burnley in the midweek, and then play us on the Sunday. And, you know, again, it was interesting. We had the conversation in the build-up show, which will be going out later today or tomorrow, I think, about how Liverpool actually need a bit of rhythm and what have you. But that's going to be a telling, because for Man United, they already had the quarterfinals of the League Cup in that, you know, that we didn't, and actually we didn't have to play as well in that. In terms of preparation, it should mean we should be better prepared physically in terms of, you know, in terms of the injuries and in terms of like the how many minutes are in the legs of our players, because the fact that Liverpool have played less games than Manchester United.
Yeah, that should be the case. And, you know, this sounds horrible, but we like to think, you know, Man United will get tired and maybe pick up an injury or two heading into entering the Liverpool game, because that's all you can hope for. They're doing what Liverpool were doing last season, picking up late goals and, you know, getting wins off the back of that, which is quite dangerous, actually, you know, from our perspective, you know, gaining confidence and always having that self-belief. If, you know, 10 minutes into a game, that's where you can win titles. It will catch up with them, and that's my hope for them, is that, you know. And the same with Manchester City as well, like the Everton game. Like, it's all well and good that they got the match delayed and they prepared them better for Chelsea, you could argue. But at some point, they're going to have to fit that game in. Manchester United, on top of that, as we've said before, I think last week, Paul, they've got Europa League to fit in there as well. An extra round of games, Europa League. Yeah. It might be a hopeful thing to kind of wish for, is that I'll catch up with them as well. You know, You've got to try and balance your squad, balance injuries, balance form. Do you keep one eye on the league, keep one eye on the Europa League? Are you going to want a trophy of some sort? And if you lose to Man City, that could put a big dent in the confidence. You know, things can change very quickly, as we've seen for Liverpool. It can change for other teams as well.
Absolutely.
Mate, I agree with everything Ross has said there. And I'll expand on my point from earlier. I don't think Manchester United can win the league this season. I don't think they're good enough. Mm-hmm. I think they're a good side. Mm-hmm. And I think they should be respected. And, you know, in one-off games against them, they should be fair. But I think more teams are going to get results against Manchester United if Liverpool turn their form around.
Yeah.
Manchester City are the big ones, because they have managed the squad really well. They've managed injuries and they've come into form at what seems like the right time.
Yeah, and they're still
jumping off.
Yeah, and you wouldn't say that Man City are actually necessarily even close to being in the top form yet either, which is always a possibility. The thing for me with Manchester United is, I think of course they can win the league. They can, because they're there or thereabouts, and if they continue, if it all continues to unfold the way it's unfolded, then they'll be there or thereabouts, and that's all you need to be, is in touching distance when you get to the final leg of the season. What I do think about them, and I'm seeing it in the way their fans are talking, it's starting to seep into my timeline of how they're talking about it. I think they're on the magic of Manchester United trip at the moment. This is a great football club and all this kind of stuff, and they're buying into the what's brilliant about their past. And
the brand reminds
me.
But
we've talked about 2013-14 before. We had a bit of that going for us, you know. Absolutely. there was a sense of destiny to doing this 21-21 thing, and that feels like a thing we're all looking for, little signs. No, but think about the fucking European Cup final against Real Madrid, where it was like the last time we played Real Madrid in the European Cup final, there was a royal baby and a royal wedding or something. There was
every fan base does that at some point, you know. I think 13-14 for us, it was the 25 years of Hillsborough, and it's everything that was going around Hillsborough at that time, and that felt to me like that was our time. It was written in the stars, as it were. Manchester United fans feel like, because everybody looks for these mad little things. 2021 is the shittest one of all of them I've ever heard.
Yeah, but they were ruined, those things, right? But those things were ruined for all the things that were ruined because by better teams with better, by the reality of football, ruined that for us, you know, ultimately, because we came up against Jose Mourinho, whose team wasn't good enough to win the league, but they were good enough to beat us. They were good enough to use the dark arts to undercut us, and ultimately we went head to head with the Man City side, who were like across the pitch, a combined 11 had Luis Suarez from our team in it, and possibly, and you know, and Gerrard a push on pure nostalgia and that kind of thing. Yeah. City were miles better than us that season, and that's what it's about for Liverpool this season, is to reassert themselves as what they are. But the problem is, of course, is as we've known for so long, Errol, and you mentioned there, you meant City juggernaut. City are another absolutely elite football team with an elite manager, with a bunch of elite
manager
squad.
Thing's king.
Yeah, I think the manager thing's massive.
Yeah, and it's paid dividends for them before, and I think with the amount of games that they've still got left to play, they are best positioned to kind of juggle the workload, really. And one thing that I'm praying on is the fact that when January normally hits, our lads normally take a flight have a couple of weeks somewhere and then come back and we're awful for another couple of weeks. The fact that we're going to be stationary in our home and in our own little support bubbles hopefully does, because I just want to focus on Liverpool right now. I can see what all the other teams are going to try and do. They're going to try and put doubts into our mindset. They're going to try and, the media, especially with some of the pundits that are going to be out there, the ex-pros, they're going to call us sloppy and try and start making us doubt ourselves. But if we can just make sure that we keep ourselves in that little bubble and make sure that our mindset doesn't have any penetration in it whatsoever, I can't see. The only team I can see being that threat is Man City, because they're cut from the same sort of cloth at this moment in time.
Just the fixtures is interesting, Ross. Let's start with Man City, because we're on the subject of them. But their next run of games looks very winnable. The next six Premier League games: Brighton at home, Palace at home, Villa at home, Sheffield United away, West Brom at home, Burnley away. Like, you could see Man City comfortably walking away without dropping points in that spell, which is a concern in that regard. It's hard not to. That's why Liverpool need to focus on themselves, because I think we're entering into a spell of the season where, a bit like the first 10 games, the middle 10 games of the season now, we're at a point where Liverpool just need to get their heads down and look and see where they are at the end of that run.
Yeah, you just listed off those fixtures there, and you said the same thing about Liverpool for the past 3 weeks, and it's not happened. There's just been some mad results in the past season. You know, with City, obviously, we've got the injuries, shall we say, over the past couple of weeks. You know, will that benefit them? Will it not? You know, got to integrate those players back in. They've got to get up to match fitness if they have got, you know, COVID or, you know, sustaining problems. But you like to think that teams, again, like we played the past couple of weeks, will raise their game against Manchester City as well. They might fancy the chances. Okay, Chelsea didn't do it, but, you know, when they got 3, 4, 5 players out.
Chelsea didn't do it against Arsenal, mate.
Chelsea's another problem in itself, isn't it? But, you know, you might find teams like, you know, West Brom, Sam Allardyce has suddenly got his team up to speed, you know, by the time they come to play Manchester City, or, you know, teams like that have got some sort of break, or, you know, they're not playing European football, so they're fresher for you know, games against Manchester City. There's pros and cons to every side in this, but I think you're right, you know, taking a look at City's form, the fact that, you know, they had 4 or 5 players out against Chelsea and dicked them everywhere, you know, doesn't fill me with confidence that they're going to drop any points.
That fixture list there that you've just mentioned as well, a few of them games might hopefully drop into their mindsets that they can be a little bit complacent. Oh, we don't need to take this opposition as serious as the next opposition. We'll walk those games. And that's a scary rope to walk, because before you know it, you're in our boat where you've just drew two and lost one.
Yeah, and again, the thing that's worth considering in amongst all of this is that's Premier League fixtures. It doesn't account the FA Cup games, the additional League Cup game that the City are playing in that regard, and the fact that if they get through the third round of the FA Cup, there'll be a fourth round of the FA Cup game at the back, squeezed in towards the back end.
And they've got one more Premier League fixture in there than us, because they're our sixth game, and there's six games, and we're not on that list.
Yeah.
So we're probably the next Premier League game after that little run as well. So, you know, a couple of all those things together, they could have three more games than us.
It is really interesting in that. And I think the thing that I take most encouragement from, Chris, because there's a part of me that looks at those Man City fixtures and goes, oh, Brighton, well, we fucked it against Brighton. We battered Palace everywhere. We fucked it against Villa. We nearly fucked it against Sheffield United. We fucked it against West Brom, and we've got Burnley to come.
Yeah, we get to fuck it against them.
Who we have notoriously needed some a little bit of luck to get past, particularly at Turf Moor. Oh no, sorry, for them playing away. It's the thing that stands, I think, in good stead is that, and I wonder whether in terms of Liverpool dropping points, it's not ideal. And to go to Errol's point in your conversation about it before, we absolutely should have gotten more points in those last three games. But I wonder if that was the last for this upcoming spell, particularly if you look at those next six games for us, that was the last opportunity we had to get any, you know, to not be in form, to drop points, so to speak. I almost wonder if this Villa game coming up is almost the last game that you can effectively afford to lose in the season. If you take my point on this is, in our next run of six games, we play United, Tottenham and City, and United and City both at home. So regardless of how shit it was to draw to West Brom and draw to Newcastle and lose to Southampton, if we beat Man United and Man City, and provided we don't then drop points in between, it's still very much in our hands, regardless of what they're doing.
Three games there: United, Tottenham away, obviously, and City, which are all massive games. I'm always going to err on the side of positivity. It's just how I look at football.
and what limited knowledge I have of different sports and stuff like that, I think that Jürgen is building fitness for a run right to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I feel like looking around the league, and I might be right on this, I might be completely wrong on this, that the other teams are just keeping on going at the moment.
Yeah.
And I feel there's going to be a big drop-off in form from a lot of teams towards the end of the season. Now, whether that's Manchester City, whether that's Manchester United, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think across the board, we're going to see a real downtick in fitness levels. We're going to see an uptick in injuries. And I just hope that Liverpool have managed it to the point where we're not going to be one of those sides.
Well, there's an interesting point, Errol, where we haven't really talked about the League Cup final moving because it's none of our business, but it's been moved to April, where it's been moved into the business end of the season, which seems like a good idea. Oh, you know, get some more fans in and all that kind of stuff, you know, fine. But
could be two of those rivals.
Exactly. You know, one of United or City are going to be in that final.
It's
and that's
good.
Another
and
game.
Brentford.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brentford. Now,
at
that's
a point
good for
in
us,
a season where they need it. They don't need it, so to say.
Well, to be, and the other aspect of that is it's taken that kind of, usually it's like February time or early March, February, when City, historically for the last 3 years, has won it. And that's given them the motivation, so to speak, to be like, right, what else can we win this year? We've got one under our belt. What else can we do? Whereas when it's do or die, back end of the season in April, their anxiety and the pressure is going to be ramped up a couple of notches by that point.
Errol, there's a reality, and without actually analysing the fixtures, because I might be completely miles off on this, but it wouldn't shock me if you end up in a situation where you've got a quite important Premier League game, mm-hmm. but you've got a final. And no matter which way you're slicing it, the final always takes precedence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Players in particular, they'll always have one eye on that. And if all that means is
you don't want to get injured, you don't want to, you know, not be in form. All of those things are going to come into play. And for it to come into play in April, as you're saying there, potentially one of our title contenders or challengers up there with us is going to be playing those 90 minutes guaranteed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I mean, there are, again, at the moment, Ross, this is all, you know, I mean, this is very much with our red tinted glasses and our positive hats on. But fine, you know, I see no reason not to, because our understanding of football has had to change a little bit. But I do completely agree with what Chris is saying there. I feel like, and I thought we'd have seen it by now, but I can understand if it... Liverpool have got some good players available to us now. It stands to reason, I think, if we get them match sharp, we'll be better for it. I can't see a world where us, you know, provided we can keep as many players fit as possible, it doesn't benefit us in the coming weeks, that we should, us just not having been so intense. Whether it pays dividends in the next couple of weeks, which it should, but it should definitely pay dividends when you come toward the end of the season, when you factor in United and City in particular both played European football in August, when we were having something close to a pre-season in that time as well.
Yeah, I think it's important to look at other teams as well, because we've already seen a drop-off. You know, we've had that weekend where Tottenham were going to win in league. There's the, you know, two weekends where Everton were going to win it. There was a weekend when Chelsea were going to win it. They've already dropped off. You know, I've no doubt that they're not completely out of the title race, or, you know, in the conversation right now. But if you're another team, you're looking at Liverpool, and you've got all those injuries, all those plays that we've missed, and we're still in the mix. You know, I think I'd be worried about if I was another team. I think recruitment in this January window is also important, you know, particularly maybe for other teams, or, you know, especially Liverpool. If we can get a centre-back, you know, tied in, and we'll do the Reds news tomorrow. But, you know, I think that frees up a lot of things, and some of the stuff we were talking about in the final word, in the sense of, well, we don't have to play two midfielders at centre-back. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Liverpool didn't play with no defenders yesterday. Okay, we lost the game, but we played most of the season with a DM as centre back, and we're still in the conversation of being top of the league.
Random one there. I just hit upon this, and this might be completely blown out the water by the time people listen to this, if they listen to this later in the week. The League Cup final has been moved to the 28th of April. Manchester United play Leeds United on the 24th. On the 1st of May, the next game, Liverpool, Old Trafford. The game immediately after the League Cup final.
Liverpool.
At Old Trafford. I'm just, you know what I mean? I look, City are probably just going to dick them and knock them out at that point, but this is an example of what I'm talking about down the line. That anyone who thinks that the league is going to be done, dusted and home and hosed by the end of January is wrong. But I think there's encouraging ways of looking at it both ways. You know, Liverpool need to stay in touch.
you know, I'm not saying we need to now take maximum points from our next six games, but if we take maximum points from our next six games, we are top.
What would suit you this time round? Would it be in going to the back end as the leaders, or would it be better for us to be chasing the pack and chasing somebody with it being in our hands still?
I think this time around, I'd want Liverpool to be leading the pack. We've done it and we've lost the league chasing Manchester City, and we've done it from the front. Admittedly, a completely different scenario because of the gap that we add to everybody else. But there's always, I think there's always that doubt in your mind when you're going against the champions that you can't do it. They've been there and done it before. City won't mind. City mentality, I don't think, changes towards the end of the season, whether they're leading or whether they're chasing. They'll believe because they're only a season away from being champions twice on the bounce. Manchester United, that's a tough place to be in when you're Manchester United and you're chasing someone down. So I think you'd eliminate one of your two competitors by being ahead of them.
I think the City thing's interesting because I would have us lead the pack because I don't think City have proven themselves to be good at handling that situation. And let's not forget, there's no way Pep Guardiola's eyes aren't still very firmly fixed on the Champions League. You know, and the players are still very firmly fixed on the Champions League. I think when it boils down to it, once a game, priority, they would, if they had to, I'm not saying they have to, because they've been able to run deep in all the domestic cups and win leagues at the same time and what have you. Yeah. But I do think that's going to be a thing, whereas I think Jürgen Klopp, he would love another European Cup. Absolutely wants a European Cup, or probably for him, he wants another European Cup. But I think he knows that we need another league.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think we need just to level up with United, but also for the fans to give us that thing that we missed.
Yeah, I think if Jürgen had the choice and it was just for him, he'd take the European Cup. But I think if Jürgen had the choice, because he knows how much it would mean for us, he'd go for the league.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. I think to your question, yeah, I think I'd rather Liverpool be leading the pack. I don't think it matters too much because I think yes we chased City down and we didn't win it, but we chased them down so hard that it was ridiculous that we didn't.
They'll know because that chase was incredible. Because it was like 12 or 13 wins on the bounce by City and not far off from us as well. They'll know they can't afford a slip in that situation.
Yeah.
So and they'll know they'll have to be perfect. So yeah, it's a really difficult one. But I think I'd just give it the nod to us leading that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely fascinating.
Got a couple of super chats in here, mate.
Yeah, we have indeed.
Robin Hood, $4.99. Jota and Jez been talked about enough. Really missed his goals ability to rest one of the front three. Go on, say it, Paul.
I'm just really enjoying the fact that we've just been talking about Robin Hood, literally, and he's obviously mates with Benjamin Longthorne, isn't he? And they've all got together. Yeah, fantastic. Sorry, what was it? He's done two super chats.
Oh, well, Trick Josh gave us one as well. Said to Paul about a week back, we'd be caught if we keep playing like this. Look where we are not too long ago. We were laughing at Solskjaer. Now your United fans are laughing at us. They can laugh at us. They're on the same lots of points.
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't worry about Man United laughing or not. It doesn't change the fact that club's horrendously run. Like, they're getting away with it at the moment because they've bought things to cover up the cracks. Again, they're us in 13-14 in some regards. You know, the similarities between the second coming of Kenny Dalglish and the similarities with the Brendan Rodgers stuff. And I think, look, if they keep Solskjaer, they'll still be a top four side because they can afford to buy boss players and they've still got a lot of things going for them. But everything about Man United screams decline. They're being bailed out by they've had a good crop of, you know, having Greenwood and Rashford come through is a big deal. Again, it feels very 90s Liverpool in that regard. Old Trafford is literally falling apart at the seams. It's a totally outdated, outmoded stadium that needs revamping. They've got a manager who is not in the top tier. They've got a chief executive who is borderline incompetent at his job, and there's a whole host of other things. I mean, literally. They got knocked out of the Champions League. There's a lot of things that need fixing at Manchester United.
I don't commend a really good position.
Yeah.
I don't commend them for much, but the one striking similarity for me is that Bruno Fernandes and Luis Suarez. The way that in terms of a player just being able to take the whole team up two levels just by their brilliance, I think that's very reminiscent of Suarez. But other than
he's amazing. He's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
he's
boss. Yeah. And they've got boss players. I think Rashford is fantastic. Greenwood looks like a real talent. I mean, it's telling that people are not quite going over the top on him quite as much. But when I watch him play, I'm very jealous. We don't have him. I think Martial has been a bit forgotten about. But I'd have had Martial over the last 5 years. At any point, he would have improved our squad. Yeah. People say, look, De Gea's definitely had his best days, but he's still better than all but two of the goalkeepers probably in the Premier League.
Fullbacks are decent.
The fullbacks are good. People slag Luke Shaw off, but I think he's good, and they've obviously got the
Tomine, Fred playing.
Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka's all right, you know.
Wan-Bissaka's good.
Yeah, solid.
I think he's really good. He's just got a
dodgy centre half partnership, which was us 13-14.
Yeah, and again, I'm not very good manager. I feel that they'll come unstuck because they've just crashed out the Champions League because the manager wasn't good enough fighting to manage the way out of the Champions League group. So they're not, but they're fine. And I said, Man United are more than capable of capitalising on a mad season if Liverpool and City don't get their act together. City at the moment are getting their act together, and Liverpool have kind of fallen off a little bit. But if either or both of those sides get together, I feel like it's another one where it'll just be Liverpool City duke it out come the end of the campaign.
Mate, you just said Liverpool falling off. If this is Liverpool falling off now, we've been spoilt as far as I've concerned.
Completely agree. But yeah, I say just on Josh's comment there. You've got to take the rough with the smooth. We've been buzzing our tits off at United for the last two seasons now because we've been winning the major honours and they've not, and that's a really uncomfortable situation. So they are desperate for something to go back at us with. I've got an uncle who's a United fan. I've lived this with my entire life, and it's horrible, but that's what you've got to. If you give it out, then you've got to be prepared to receive it in return. That's all footy is, and that's why footy is a bit shit in a general sense. The social media has brought this to the forefront. You never used to know people who supported other clubs. You never really had interactions with them, so they never bothered you, but now you do, because it might be a case if you see them online, but it might be a case that now you support a football club in a different, you live in a different city and you both support different football clubs, so you've got to live with that banter on a constant basis. People in London have this a lot more prevalently than people in Liverpool do. We just got to live with Evertonians, and let's be honest. So it's like, it could be a lot worse. But yeah, thanks very much for the super chat anyway. Which one of Robnod's super chats did you do, Circus? The Jota?
Yeah, Jota one.
Yeah, and he also asked the question, it'd be tough to defend the title if we don't bring in a centre-back. So someone who can compete with Gomez long-term or a stopgap to see us through. What do you reckon, Ross?
A stopgap's off the card, so I don't think you can get the right standard of person in. We did a chat of three or four defenders last week on the Red Sea's roundup, and it's difficult to buy in January, as it is. You know, who's going to want to sell in January? People, if they've got a decent centre-half, are probably competing for something. Are they going to want to jeopardise that financially? Is it viable for Liverpool? Can you do a Jota-type deal where they pay £5 million for the next 15 years or whatever that was, and convince someone to kind of do that? It is difficult, but I think we'll struggle to compete for a title. I wouldn't write us completely off, but I think the task becomes a lot harder if you don't get a centre back in. And we saw that last night. You know, I'd like to use Fabinho in midfield. I'd like to use Jordan Henderson in midfield, or you know, James Milner in his correct position, and not have to force players that, you know, are either too young or too inexperienced to play in defence, or use players that aren't match fit, that aren't ready to play Premier League games of football. That's a situation that we find ourselves in. You solve two problems if you get a centre back who's actually a centre back, in my mind. But you know, whether that's easily done or not. Unless
Here's a question for you, and I'll stick with you on this, Ross. Is it easier to go and buy another DM, or is it easier to buy a centre half? Because we've had this conversation for ages about where are the world class centre backs, and can you buy a centre back better than Fabinho?
My solution to this is, and again, it doesn't solve anything now, but you give Gini a new contract and tell him he's got game time, and make Fabinho your centre-back for the reasons that you just said. You know, again, you solve two problems there. You don't have to go out into the market and spend 30, 40, 50, 60.
Doesn't help this season, though.
No. That's what you said.
The point is the title this year.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant if you buy another DM now. Keep Fabinho there. It's someone to play alongside Fabinho for me.
Yeah. But then, you know, are Liverpool banking on Kate getting injured every 2 minutes or Shamlin getting injured? You know, Klopp's thinking, I lost. Yeah. Well, you have to. So you have to go with someone else. Again, I said it, you know, it solves the solution of not going into the market. And like I just said, as Chris said, well, that doesn't solve this season. It still leaves us wide open.
My point is it easier to buy a Jordan Henderson or a Virgil van Dijk?
Well,
we got Virgil in January, though. And we got him in January, to be fair.
Yeah. I break the bank on a centre-back. I'm spending all the money that's in the
kitty. We've done it before.
Yeah, every single penny, because I think that guarantees us as close to guaranteeing a league as you can. Yeah. I think it guarantees us a proper title fight. Without that,
I think City are in the. I think City might be the favourites now. Might be.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be intrigued. Just back again with the super chat. It's just Koulibaly. Fuck it. Splash the cash. The problem with Koulibaly ultimately is he plays left side of centre half. If you could get a right side of centre half equivalent, and there'll be plenty of names out there that people will know better than I agree. I think Liverpool need to go. It is. Like, mind-boggling if Liverpool don't get a centre-half sorted in the next 7 days.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and obviously you've got till the end of January to sort it, but I just mean...
I thought Liverpool would have wrapped it up by now, if I'm honest.
Now, the only thing is, again, we're living in this world where... we looked at that midfield three against Southampton. Thiago anchoring, Oxlade-Chamberlain playing as the offensive eight, and Genie doing the Genie. You still got, I know, I'm going to say this, and I know when I'm saying it out loud, we've still got Naby Keita. I know, we've got Curtis Jones as well, who's in the mix there, obviously. It didn't work against Southampton, but if that midfield comes good, it might not feel like so much of a pressing issue. You know what I mean? That I wonder whether Liverpool feel that way. Of like, because if you can get a tune out of those five midfielders and James Milner, so six, they might just look at it and go, there's no one good. There's no one who's better. Yeah. We can't buy anyone better than Fabinho or Henderson, which is in the January window.
My issue with all of this is it takes time to develop those types of relationships, and you're going to need that whether you buy a new centre half. You're going to need that whether you plug Jordan Henderson into the centre back role alongside Fabinho. You're also having the problem with moving Henderson there long term is he's got to form a partnership with Fabinho and the midfield, that's the former partnership. Whereas if you can get Henderson back into that midfield, that's sorted.
Yeah.
All you're adding in is a Thiago who's world class,
yeah,
who plays with Henderson and Wijnaldum for the majority of the time, yeah, every week. That midfield hits the ground running, yeah, quite quickly.
Yeah.
So for me, a centre back makes that just a lot easier for us to keep going, because consistency is what we're lacking right now,
mm-hmm,
and performances. Certainly over the last 9 days, that's what we need to get back to quickly. And the easiest way for me to think to do that is buy a centre half, a really good centre half who can hit the ground running a la Virgil van Dijk. He hit the ground running. He started the way that he carried on. Not a young lad, not a 21-year-old who's going to come in and be good in 3 years' time. A fucking guy is at the top of his game.
The problem with is right, and that's
if possible,
and that's great. And you know what you're doing when you're saying all this is like, it sounds brilliant and that sounds like the obvious thing, but there's no Virgil van Dijk level centre halves at Southampton anymore. You know what I mean? At the clubs where that Liverpool can necessarily bully, and do Liverpool have the money and on the other bits and pieces? It is we all know what we want, but it's doing the trick again is the big issue with what we've got to be able to do here. And as I say,
we should be doing the long term planning as well, though, because you know we're expecting Virgil van Dijk to come back and be at the level that he left us at, and he probably will. But the likes of Gomez and Matip coming back and being back at that level, it could take them time. So if we had simulated another guy in there now over the next course of 4 or 5 months, he could be molded perfectly for when Van Dijk is ready to take his place again. So it's that long term planning that I'd be considering as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting shouts in the comments here. The Great Metropolis, Ramos is the obvious answer. Can't understand why nobody's saying it. Jeremy B saying, Paul by Ramos. Sergio Ramos.
Really?
No. No.
Is it just because we hate him so much because of the Champions League final?
It's not a long-term solution, is he? No.
It's not a long-term solution, but fuck me, if you're going to get a short-term solution, you're not getting better than Sergio Ramos.
No, but we'd have to pay for him now. Six months down the line, you get him for free. So what's
doesn't solve the problem, does it? You know, it's all well and good us being...
That's why I wouldn't go for it, because either way...
Let's talk with him for Alaba. Great, we should be in for Alaba, but yeah, it doesn't solve our problem between now and the end of the season, does it? I don't know. Again, I'm saying all these things. I would buy a centre half. It is. There's no like question. It's not even a question. Not a discussion point. It's who are you buying and how much are you spending on them. Is the questions that need to be asked. Not are we buying a centre half. Mm-hmm. But again, I would note, and I'd say this is that, and I said this before on one of the shows before. And I don't, again, I want Jordan Henderson in midfield, but given the world, given the situations that we've seen, Jordan Henderson just started his first ever game in the Premier League for us at centre-half. He's played 2.5 games of football for us at centre-half. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be the answer, but also I don't think any of us really thought Fabinho was the answer when we were playing Bayern Munich with no Virgil van Dijk. Yeah. And we got a clean sheet with him at centre-half at Anfield and that. I'm not saying that, but there does exist a world where the midfield three we put out against Southampton is still on paper, and you're right, we need to build all these bits and pieces, the understandings and all that. It's still better than most of the midfield in the Premier League. So, again, I don't want this to be how Liverpool are thinking, but there might just be
surprise me if that's what Klopp is thinking, to be honest, because we seem to forget about the money thing and the COVID and when fans are coming back into the team, because we've been talking about it for so long, we're now not talking about it anymore.
No, it's fans still March.
Yeah, at the very earliest. So that's still a thing. We're still not making as much money as we thought. On the Ramos thing, the reason is, look, I just checked, he's 34 years old. He's still a really, really, really good player.
Yeah.
But you are absolutely undoing all the work that Liverpool have done with regards to getting wages to the right level with Sergio Ramos. Because he goes to PSG, he goes to Manchester City, and he goes on 400 grand a week.
Yeah.
And that screws everything we've done up for a 6 month to a year long signing. Yeah. You just don't do that.
Is this the same Chris Page? No, sorry, not to go full, is this you, Twitter? This is the man who said a week or two ago that Thiago Silva... We should have just got Thiago Silva.
In the summer?
Yeah.
I thought, he would have been a perfect option if you can get him for the right price.
Yeah.
I don't think you could.
Yeah.
No. But I said, that's the type of player, if they were available, that you go for.
Yeah. But is Ramos not that?
No, not in a mid-season when you've got to buy him.
Yeah. Would you have Lovren
Thiago Silva? I don't know what his wages are. I'm sure they're probably sky high as well. My point wasn't that you signed Thiago Silva. It was that you signed someone with that level of experience if it's a short-term buy.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. It is an interesting one. Liverpool are not getting Sergio Ramos. So I wouldn't. No. It's a non-starter. And we're not getting Dejan Lovren back either, by the way, Errol. So,
I think if we wouldn't have drew Leipzig, we probably would have been in with a strong shout for one of their two centre-backs in January, though.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right on that. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. There are football clubs that understand their place in the food chain, and Liverpool are one of them as well. You know, I think most well-run football clubs understand that there's a business of football, and the nostalgia of football players should stay at your club for 20 years and retire and all that doesn't. It's a bit of a nonsense. Whenever a player does that, you have to accept that as the exception rather than the rule. But there'll be plenty of football clubs. I used Ajax as the example, but I think the Leipzig, the Red Bull clubs are like that as well. They understand that you buy players in, you build them up, you sell them for loads of money, and then you buy five more lads in for that amount, and then you build them up, and then you sell them on, and there's a multiplication process that goes in there. So there will surely be teams out there that do have that. It's just not as obvious as what Virgil van Dijk was when he was the best centre-half in the Premier League, and he was at that tier below. So we'll have to see what Liverpool do, and as I say, just don't be... It'll just be a thing. If we don't buy a centre-half, we'll feel like it's utter madness, but we've made some really baffling decisions in the transfer market. But also, no club has got the transfer market better than Liverpool have done in the last 5 years, so...
I remember sitting and raging to the point, Phil Coutinho. We got to the Champions League final. Yeah, all right, we didn't win it. Mm-hmm. But man, I thought we absolutely 100% needed someone, and we kicked on and we were better afterwards. And what did we do the year after? We won it.
And in selling Coutinho, we paid for Van Dijk and we paid for Alisson Becker in the summer with the Coutinho stuff. So you don't know it. And that's the problem. That's the problem with all of us, is that Liverpool don't think...
Alisson today as well, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Do you buy a short-term fix when you got a potential of getting in him in the summer?
And again, that's why I think Liverpool, we don't get it and we get frustrated by it, but Michael Edwards doesn't just go, fuck, it's January, what do I need?
Like me going shopping on a Friday.
No, it's not me.
I've got no
beans
left here, I better go and buy some. Yeah. And he's planning ahead.
It's not me running out in my pyjamas on a Saturday morning to buy bacon and milk and from the corner shop, that Liverpool don't work that way, even in crisis situations. So you're right, and they've done it all along. That's why you have a manager tied down to a long-term contract for a long-term plan, and that's why we waited 6 months for Virgil van Dijk instead of buying X number of other footballers who've all gone on to prove themselves nowhere near as good. Again, you've got to, it's sad and it's annoying and it sounds a little bit like deluded blinkerism, but the trust the process thing, to borrow from Errol, is probably solid advice that we should all give our... If you're 18 today, just take that advice from Errol right now.
Take it. It's free game, but, man. Take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, sad. Listen, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I feel loads more upbeat about everything there. I think we've done a good job. I hope everyone else listening and watching at home feels the same about that. No sense in getting too downbeat about it, because ultimately, you know, it's 11 fellas getting playing games of footy. Sometimes they win and sometimes they lose, and there's literally nothing we can do about that. No. particularly because we can't even get in the fucking ground. Thanks, COVID. But right, yeah, if you're listening,
got one more super chat. I don't know whether that's just come through now, Paul.
Oh, Trig asking if there's any good South American defenders, saying Santos, Boca Juniors, or River Plate. Don't just look at Europe. Yeah, I'm sure they will, mate. It's probably just as easy to shop in South America. Brexit probably hasn't changed that, but yeah, it's made it more difficult to shop in Europe. So you might be spot on there. Or who knows? Maybe there's some mad. We're going to go back to that mad rule where, like, Scottish people and Irish people are going to go back to being classed as non. Yeah. But anyone who's old enough will remember that we couldn't play Bruce Grobbelaar, Steve Nicol, Ronnie Whelan, and like Ronnie Rosenthal at the same time or whatever. Mad. Let's not go back to that. Oh no, we have done. Right, thanks everyone. Do go and check out the greatest Jürgen Klopp moments over on the RedmenTV.com. It is streaming now. 2-part miniseries, really good and an excellent way to give yourself a New Year's lift. As well as a whole host of other content. There's a chat I've done with Bruce Grobbelaar recently as well, and it's brilliant. I highly recommend it, because it's certainly. But I can guarantee the quality of that, whereas I can't guarantee the quality of the football at the moment or life. But there's one thing I can't handle here. Cast iron guarantee of good quality content. So yeah, I hope to see it over there. Other than that, we'll be back with the podcast next week and for a watch along on Friday night for the FA Cup game. Hope to see you there. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.